the conditions in the earth before the return of our Lord and Master, even Jesus the Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, young people, respected guests, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and our subsequent calling to judgment at Sinai should come as no surprise. There is an urgent need for people to consider the important message in this lecture. It will draw attention to the great problems facing a society that is rapidly destroying itself. It answers the questions, why is there so much wickedness and sin? Why are the divorce courts filled and marriages being destroyed? Why are young people contemplating ways to end their lives? These matters should concern every thinking person. There is a solution to the troubles of the 21st century, but it is only to be found in the Scriptures, the book that Yahweh has provided so that people might understand and avoid the disasters facing civilization. Please listen closely to this lecture and deeply consider the points that are raised therein. Civilization is out of control. Disturbing trends are apparent in modern society. Not only is the pattern of civilization changing, but it appears to be on the point of collapse. Different attitudes and lower standards have replaced the conventions of the past. Permissiveness, perversion, and violence have become a way of life. The virtues of restraint, modesty, respect, and concern for others are of little regard. Society insists that individual demands be satisfied, but the emergence of the welfare state has weakened initiative and ambition. What was that? The welfare state has caused ambition and initiative to be immensely weakened. Many people take advantage of the perks and benefits offered without consideration of the economic condition of the nation or the obligations of personal responsibility. Governments are so politically unstable that people have little confidence in their ability to rule wisely, with the result that some take the law into their own hands. So vigilante groups make their presence felt in an endeavor to stem the rising tide of the violence in society. Thus, without true leadership, civilization is effectively out of control. In spite of prevailing affluence, dissatisfaction and discontent are ripe, leading to aimlessness and hopelessness. Many become tired of the life and seek to end it in violence. Here in the USA, a suicide occurs every few moments. And these trends show how incurably sick modern society has become in this age of conflict and frustration. youth seethes with unrest, dissatisfied with the world it has inherited, and manifests increasing impatience with any form of restraint. What is to be the outcome of today's corrupted, sick civilization? What kind of a world is being molded for future generations? What can one do to escape the calamity that threatens? Who has the solution to these enormous problems? The Bible has the answer. We submit that the Bible supplies the only positive answer to these questions. Its pages reveal the significance of the present times and God's ultimate destiny for the world. Unfortunately, in this materialistic age, it has become unfashionable to consider or to heed the teaching of this much forgotten and misunderstood book. Many people regard the Bible to be completely out of touch with reality. And those who try to live in accordance with its requirements are often despised and ridiculed. But the Bible is not out of date. On the contrary, its prophecies are clear and certain, and the hope that it sets forth is practical and well adapted to the needs of humanity. Such developments as the modern revival of Israel, the restructuring of Russian power, the divided state of the nations, and the deteriorating trends of society are clearly predicted in its pages. Brothers and sisters, no surprise. The changes predicted in society are imminent. The Bible teaches that even greater changes in the earth are soon to occur. It reveals that Jesus Christ is about to appear with the divine answer to the problems of the present. He will establish a political kingdom on earth and bring about vast economical, social, and religious changes. The return of Jesus Christ to the earth was the angelic message delivered to the disciples gathered on the Mount of Olives when the Lord ascended from the earth 2,000 years ago. And I quote Acts 1 and 11. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, apostles, into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And later these men publicly declared, Acts 3:19-21, times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution or restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The purpose of his coming is to restore a true and proper government with wise, helpful policies. Daniel chapter 2:44. The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Zechariah 14:9. the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Isaiah 2, 3 to 4. Out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. These scriptures speak of the personal, visible return of the Lord to the earth. In order to establish His throne in Jerusalem and to reign over mankind. But though this is ultimately to be the earth's glorious destiny, it will only be achieved after a time of judgment and destruction, which mankind will bring upon himself. The Bible shows that the very trends and conditions being suffered by society at this present time shall erupt into a time of trouble, unprecedented in modern history, from which this world will only be saved by divine intervention. Daniel 12 and 1. Of such a period of trouble, the Lord Jesus warned that there will come upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. Literally, no way out. Men's hearts failing them for fear. And afterwards shall they see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. Brothers and sisters, no surprise. And when will this occur? In predicting the future, the Lord Jesus Christ drew upon the examples and experiences of two men, Noah and Lot. Both lived in times of crisis, which culminated in widespread disaster. But both escaped the destruction by means God provided. Luke 17, 26 to 30. The Lord declared, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And it is significant that the Lord referred to the days, plural, of the Son of Man, rather than to a single day. In that, he spoke of two similar epochs, which would both see the destruction of society after a period of ungodly materialism and widespread wickedness. And his warnings first applied to the horrendous overthrow of the Jewish society in AD 70, when the Roman armies came against the city of Jerusalem. That day foreshadowed another crisis that would involve Gentile society. As the Jewish nation was then engulfed in judgment, so will the Gentile society, which manifests similar opposition to God's way, exactly as seen in current events. And look at Jeremiah 25:29. The same materialistic outlook is witnessed today with the sad decline of home life, the same upsurge of crime and violence, the same threat of widespread pollution, the same deterioration of morals as preceded the flood of Noah's day. Worse, not only has society degenerated in the areas of violence and self-gratification, as was seen in the days of Noah, but there has emerged the depravity of homosexuality and deviant practices, as was experienced in the days of Lot. And because this perversion had become so common in the city of Sodom, its name was taken to describe the evil. Sodom, sodomy. In modern times, the plague of AIDS is directly traceable to this cause. And does this not illustrate the truth of the Lord's words as it was in the days of Lot? The days of Noah and Lot were also noted for divine intervention at judgment because of the unrepentant wickedness of the masses. They culminated in cataclysmic crisis, which overthrew existing conditions in order to make way for a new order. The warning of Christ, therefore, signifies that the present age is approaching a crisis which shall overwhelm the world in judgment as it did in the past. But do our modern conditions identify with those of the days of Noah and Lot? Brothers and sisters, no surprise. And there are remarkable similarities between the society of today and that in the days of Noah. Consider the examples to which the Lord Jesus drew attention. Luke 17:27. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. In these words, the Master described social conditions prior to the flood. It was a time of relaxed affluence, gross materialism, and easy marriage, with little concern given to the sensible old-time moral principles of responsible courtship. Matthew 24:38. Marrying and giving in marriage describes a promiscuity incidental to this age. There is no doubt that there is today a greater breakdown in family attitudes and an abnormal increase in divorce than ever before. Divorce is made easy. Many do not even worry to enter into a formal state of matrimony. Extramarital relations are common and are accepted by a generation that no longer recognizes the right of God to establish principles of right and wrong. Every form of perversion is publicized, and lust shows no restraint. And this state of things is tolerated by a society that is sick through sin, but seeks to solve its moral problems through pills and contraceptives, which encourage promiscuity, and are interpreted by many young people as justifying sexual indulgence. So the standards of the world decline, hastening toward a judgment predicted in our Bibles. Meanwhile, the scars of unhappiness, frustration, and appalling illnesses, terminating in a hopeless death, form the heritage that modern society leaves to its offspring. By the majority, chastity and virginity are no longer treasured, and the real rewards of virtue are mostly ignored. In the USA, over 1 million divorces approximately were granted in 2012. And that's a pretty flat graph per annum over the last 22 years. And several surveys indicate that by 2016, most of all firstborn children are conceived out of wedlock. Over half of the divorces affected children, who were thereby emotionally scarred through the experience. A broken home has an inevitable psychological effect upon the whole family. It induces a feeling of insecurity and breeds a spirit of unrest and revolt that in turn is transmitted to society. When the family unit disintegrates, juvenile delinquency increases. And the Bible predicts this, and the conditions of humanity today reveal it. 2 Timothy 3, 1-2, Paul declared, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, the aimless, restless, wandering of young people as they roam the streets in search of excitement. The decline of home life, the disintegrating family units, the frustrating search for satisfaction, drug addiction, the violence and crime that accompanies such conditions testify to the truth of the Bible predictions concerning today's society." Certainly, they witness that these days are comparable to those of Noah, and thereby give reality to the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. What future is there to a nation whose young people despise authority, ridicule family loyalty and love, and seek excitement in drugs, vicious muggings, moral license, while repudiating every form of discipline or restraint? Only one of increasing violence, anarchy, evil, leading to complete destruction. Brothers and sisters, no surprise. Genesis 6:13. Speaking in the days of Noah, the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. Widespread violence is a phenomena of modern life. Vicious murders, shootings, and rape have increased out of all proportion. Since 1960, the USA has recorded an increase in serious crime of 300%, while its population has increased by only 175%. and other nations have kept pace with the U.S. in this terrible record. Consider the bombings, shootings, violence, terrorism recorded throughout the world today, from Ireland to Israel, from Africa to Australia. It is an age of absolute lawlessness, and its fruits are seen in every level of the community. It has even invaded the schools and the colleges. Students have resorted to violence, have beaten up their instructors, held officials hostage, and given themselves over to rioting and wanton destruction. And for example, research done by the American Society of Criminology, which is an international organization, and these figures are a few years old, established that the cost of vandalism on rail trains in the eastern portion of the USA cost almost $5 million. And in the South, figures released by the Department of Transportation states that the cost was $1.2 million in the previous year. And it costs an additional $2.4 million in measures to deter its growth. Probably the most alarming feature is the growth in juvenile crime. Crimes committed by younger offenders are abnormally increasing. In the USA, the number of juvenile offenders apprehended from 2000 to 2010 increased by 60%. Approximately half of the total offenses committed for breaking and entering, larceny, property damage, drug use, and possession in 2010 were committed by youths under 18 years of age. Perhaps these young people react to the environment or industrial unrest, ruthless demands, threats, and violence in which they live. Never before in recorded history has there been such shootings, bombings, and murderings of innocent people as today. Indeed, in an age of inflation and rapidly spiraling costs, human life remains the cheapest, most easily expendable commodity. The daily slaughter on the roads through irresponsible, selfish, drunken, or drug-crazed driving witness to that fact. So what has caused this? One avenue is that of modern entertainment. Perhaps the greatest motivation to immorality and violence today is the screen and video, where these evils are glamorized thereon in such a way as to encourage viewers to experiment for themselves. It is claimed that sex, sin, and violence are being increasingly exploited by movie makers. As young minds concentrate on the theater screen or TV, the sins are depicted gradually, become accepted as a way of life. Forms of restraint are impatiently rejected, and young people experiment with the forms of wickedness or ruthlessness they see dramatized and glamorized on the screen in order to satisfy their craving for unlawful pleasure. The record of Scripture concerning the days of Noah states, Genesis 6, 5-6, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it grieved him. One researcher claims, what must be the reaction of God now as he views our world rejecting his mercy and truth and reflecting this image of the past? In Noah's day, God cleansed the earth by a flood of unprecedented extent and power. In the impending future, he will purge it with the fire of divine judgment that he might reform it and righteousness under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not abdicated his authority. He is not dead, as some blasphemously allege, but will, at the proper time, move against the godless society of today. Meanwhile, for right-minded people, this is a day of opportunity, similar to that which was extended to the people in Noah's day before the flood. They were offered repentance. The record states, Genesis 6:8-9, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, for he walked with God. In an environment of gross evil, blasphemy, and wickedness, Noah sought a better, higher way of life and found a real joy and satisfaction that eluded his contemporaries. Brothers and sisters, no surprise. And what about pollution and population? The Bible further states that in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12, in the days of Noah, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Man had polluted the earth, as he is busily doing today. In this age, selfish greed has resulted in the pollution of land, sea, and air alike. Man has created problems of living that he cannot control. Cities are gradually becoming uninhabitable, land unproductive, water a cesspool of death. The National Center for Air Pollution Control, this is in the USA, claimed in 1965 that there were 129 million tons of air pollutants rising into the air, and that this was increasing each year. And the result is a poisonous atmosphere. Some years back, the village of Knapsack, Germany, was officially declared unfit for human habitation because of air pollution. Today, every major city, particularly in China, has its dark cloud of poisonous smog, and every year it becomes more heavy and menacing. The ecology of nature is thrown out of balance, whilst man has devised pesticides which have sharply improved farm crops. They have also caused spectacular kills of fish and wildlife, thus upsetting the balance of nature. Fish are dying as the result of pesticides being washed into streams and oceans. Complete species of wildlife are slowly being exterminated because pollutants are being relentlessly poured into its waters. The Mediterranean Sea is becoming sterile. At the same time, man's ruthless exploitation of land is threatening production. Man-made deserts and droughts are increasing year by year. The population of the world is increasing by some 52 million people annually. UN Demographic Yearbook. And without adequate compensatory increase in food production. And the consequence is that millions of people are on a starvation diet. There is such a state of imbalance in the earth that it is estimated that 10,000 people starve to death every day in the third world. Whilst at the same time, in Western countries, millions of dollars are spent annually in advertising more varieties of pet food. The population of India in 2014 is 1.27 billion. 51 Indians are born every minute. Though starvation is rife, it is estimated that by the year 2030, the population will be 1.53 billion. And overcrowding is evident in other areas. The islands of Indonesia are bursting with over 250 billion or 1,585,668 people. Whilst in Malaysia and further north in China are countless millions more. And these are a few of the facts of the world situation. But the most significant feature is that the Bible predicted that such conditions would exist upon the earth prior to the coming of Christ, and that He alone would be competent to deal with it. Revelations 11 and 18 predicts, "The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." Significantly, the Greek word here, translated destroy, diaphtero, signifies to destroy through corruption or pollution. Thus, in context that predicts the return of Christ, the Bible foretells the possibility of man being able to destroy the earth. And it shows that the Bible prophecy anticipated the polluting, corrupting, destructive policies of modern man, and teaches that the return of Christ and that the disciplinary measures He institutes will alone prevent annihilation. Brothers and sisters, no surprise. And what about nuclear weapons and the arms race? Add to the moral and physical corruption of these times the weapons of destruction man has developed, and the crisis is even more serious. Nuclear devices with an explosive force equal to 1 million tons of TNT, or 60 times the force of the bomb dropped on Hiroshima, have been made and tested. 22 years ago, Time magazine reported that the U.S. and Russian governments were concerned with the number of unemployed nuclear scientists from the former USSR that have been lured to work on nuclear weapons for Iran, Libya, and Iraq. Not only were they exporting their deadly skills, but they were understood to be illegally taking computer software and laboratory instruments used in the development and manufacture of the weapons. And at the time, the U.S. House Intelligence Committee said this is an extremely dangerous situation. More dangerous than terrorists getting their hands on nuclear weapons directly. Currently, Iran, North Korea, Pakistan, India, and China all have nuclear weapons. China has intermediate range ballistic missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles, with a total arsenal of over 250 weapons. The growth of arms acquisitions dramatically increased in Asia following the collapse of the former USSR. The tiny island power of Taiwan is currently upgrading its jet fighters. Singapore and Thailand are doing the same. On the naval front, China has been building up its blue water fleet with long-distance resupply vessels and ambitious assault vessels. Taiwan, Indonesia, and Malaysia have all gotten on board with naval fleets. And countries like Thailand and Malaysia, whose armies were designed largely to put down internal challenges, have been restructured to handle as yet unforeseen external threats. But an unnecessary weapon is still a lethal one. And the same impulse that led to its purchase could lead one day to its use. And as war grows more frequent throughout the world, third world countries become the testing ground of these new arsenals of destruction. Truly, the weak saying, "I am strong." Christ's coming alone will solve the problems of this polluted globe of conflict and destruction. When he establishes his reign on earth, he will abolish such wasteful occupations as warfare and international hostilities. For as he says in Isaiah 2 and 4, "He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." This present evil, unjust, and God-denying civilization will be replaced by a universal kingdom to be established by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then all people will respond to a new policy of education based upon the law of God. Isaiah 2:2-3. "Thus it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." people will submit to God's wise laws and ways as they come to appreciate it and submit to His will and learn how to live decently. And although God's way of righteousness is available today in the pages of His inspired Word, which we said was the Bible, very few people are prepared to seriously consider its message. It will require the judgments of God in the earth in order to change the rebellious attitudes of men and women who today refuse the words of wisdom. The prophet Isaiah declares that although he, like Noah and Lot, desired the goodness and righteousness of God, that was not the general attitude of mankind. Isaiah 26:9-10. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. And this sad condition of antagonism to God's way will change when Jesus Christ brings His almighty power to bear upon the problem of mankind's sickness. Brothers and sisters, no surprise. And what about these willingly ignorant? The Lord remarked of the society destroyed in the flood of Noah's day that they, Matthew 24:39, knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Though the people knew not the approaching judgment, they should have known, for Noah had proclaimed it. However, they refused to hearken or to heed. And Scripture declares that they were, 2 Peter 3:5, willingly ignorant. They deliberately set aside the counsel and appeal of God. The Apostle Peter declares that 3:20, the appeal of God, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, but in vain. In His mercy, God was willing to save that generation if it had hearkened to His appeal. His delay in outpouring judgment, which turned out to be a period of 120 years, and see Genesis 6:3, was indicative of His grace, should any repent and seek the salvation that He offered. And this is being repeated today. Despite obvious signs in the world of the need for Christ's coming, people are unheeding of the message of God. To the few who are prepared to hear, Peter reminds his readers that any seeming delay in the divine program to send Jesus Christ is a period of personal opportunity. And he wrote, 2 Peter 3:15, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. But do the people take heed? apart from a small minority, sadly, they do not. There is a general apathy to God's way, despite the very obvious evidence of the unfolding of His plan and purpose in the earth. In this, there is a further parallel to the great crisis of the past. Consider the experiences of faithful Lot. In the city of Sodom, conditions had deteriorated to such a vicious, immoral, and violent state that when two visitors presented themselves to Lot and indicated their intention of abiding in the street all night, he was appalled. Speaking of Genesis 19, 2 and 3, he was familiar with the immorality of the populace and the physical dangers to men spending the night in such a depraved city and corrupt, and which homosexuality was rife. And similar dangers exist in modern cities today. The faithful Lot found a sharp deterioration of conditions in Sodom since his arrival in that shameless, sinful city. 2 Peter 2 and 7, we read that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked and was distraught by the evil environment around him. Does not that describe the conditions of today? The ever-increasing obscenity of screen and television entertainment, the crudeness, the violence, and immorality that is brought into homes by a corrupt video industry before the eyes of impressionable young people. How often has the sorry statement been made that a young person was incited to violence or to lust by seeing and hearing those things on television, video, or movie screen? Consider the literature handed to young people as part of their education. A few years ago, the publishers of some books would have been prosecuted for obscenity and the books banned as pornographic. Today, children are encouraged to read such works and sometimes taught the meaning of the obscene words which are found therein. Videos shown in schools frankly describe in detail sexual acts. No wonder moralists state that virginity among young unmarried women is becoming the exception rather than the rule. Young girls are encouraged by some teachers to use the pill and to experiment with sex so as to prevent any inhibitions. Never before has sex been exploited as today. Never before has so much been published and broadcast concerning it. And never before has the moral state of society been in such a condition of abject bankruptcy. Take, for example, the sudden, unparalleled growth of homosexuality in modern society. Obviously, the latent evil inclinations of human beings are aroused and stirred into activity by permissiveness, the result of people talking and thinking upon the subject, so that they finally decide to experiment. And as a result, in many parts of the world, homosexuality is legalized, as it was in Sodom. Genesis 19, 4 and 5, and Romans 1, 18 and 31. Lot's visitors soon had evidence of the vile criminality of the city. When the men of Sodom learned of their presence there, they endeavored to force their attention upon them in homosexual acts of violence. And these extremely wicked practices are becoming common in modern society and will continue to do so until the Lord's return. For He declared in Luke 17:28-30, as it was in the days of Lot, thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Christ's warning words have had terrible, literal fulfillment. But though, like Lot, we may be vexed by all we see and hear of these things, we can have the consolation of knowing that an end to them has been decreed. Christ's reign on earth will replace wickedness and righteousness. Sodom's sin was not merely immorality, but the careless attitude of the people towards its grossest conduct. It was committed without shame or any attempt to hide it. Indeed, rewards were given to those who invented new methods of perversion. Isaiah 3 and 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto them, for they have rewarded evil. Perversion became the way of life in Sodom. And the people openly supported the wicked and condemned such as Lot, who raised his voice against the prevailing wickedness. Genesis 19 and 9. And a philosophy was proclaimed declaring that discipline caused dangerous inhibitions. Consequently, expression was given to every form of license. Jeremiah 23 and 14. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. And this pursuit of evil was made possible by the prevailing affluence. Working hours were reduced. Food and money were plentiful. The people wanted for nothing. They saw no need of God. They manifested pride, induced by fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. The situation in ancient Sodom declined beyond reform. The only alternative was to urge individuals such as Lot to separate themselves from the ungodly city and then destroy it. To do otherwise would have permitted its polluting influence to spread to other centers. And Lot was told to warn his relations of the coming destruction. He did so, but to them his words made no impression. Genesis 19 and 14, he seemed as one that mocked. What of today? What of today? people generally mock at the very idea of Christ coming and at the warning of divine judgment upon a guilty and rebellious generation. They ridicule the teaching of the establishment of the kingdom of God upon this very earth. And in so doing, they fulfill Bible prophecy. Hear the warning of Scripture. 2 Peter 3 and 4. Know this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? These scoffers are happy to continue with life the way it is, and therefore do not want Christ coming and the necessary discipline that He will assert. Brothers and sisters, no surprise. Faith, folly, water, and fire. And it is significant that the days of Noah and Lot should have been selected by Christ to illustrate conditions in the earth prior to His second coming, because of the way in which each reacted to the challenge of those times. Noah's faith resulted in him saving both himself and his family. Lot's folly in becoming involved in the evil city Sodom destroyed his family and almost brought about his own death. The pattern of divine judgment used on the two occasions of crisis are also significant. The world of Noah's day was devastated by water. The city of Lot's day was destroyed by fire. But the water that overwhelmed the world in the days of Noah also saved him. So that the Bible declares, 1 Peter 3 and 20, 8 souls were saved by water. Noah built an ark for the salvation of himself and his family, and the water lifted that vessel above the destruction underneath. And the Apostle Peter comments, 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure, even baptism, doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. What if fire had been used by God in the days of Noah? The ark would then not have saved him. The water of Noah's day is typical of the water of baptism. The fire of Lot's day foreshadows the coming absolute destruction on the present evil, rebellious, godless generation. Christ commissioned His disciples to preach to the people their need of the first, that they might escape the second. He declared, Mark 16 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Today, there is an urgent need to heed that message. The gospel sets forth the hope of life eternal upon the earth at Christ's coming. Belief in the teachings of the Bible and baptism by immersion in water are the divinely appointed means by which one can attain unto it. This is the way to avoid the impending judgments that will pour out upon a guilty world and provide for the joy of the future. The glory that God destines for the earth will far outweigh all the sacrifices and disciplines that the true believer is called upon to undergo in preparation for the promise of the future. The Bible offers the hope of immortality, of glory, and honor to sincere men and women who are prepared to act as did Noah and Lot, separating themselves from the attitudes and practices of the godless society of their times, devoting themselves to the ways of righteousness and wisdom. It is to such people that this lecture is aimed. We urge the hearer, most especially you young people, to take up this matter. We are happy to outline the facts concerning Christ's coming and the wonderful picture of the kingdom that He will soon establish. Let good common sense determine your future. Let the Bible provide you with that insight. Then you, the hearer, can rest confident in the assurance that God will overshadow his or her life and effect a wonderful salvation from this present sick society. To the young people, particularly, who are not baptized, to the brothers and sisters, there should be no surprise. If we don't care enough to take our own salvation into our own hands and follow this lead, if we don't care enough, why should God care about us? I thank you.